You're listening to Studio 22.
Welcome to Studio 22. I'm Brock O'Hearn. I'm here with my co-host, Will Meldman, and we are sitting with Dude Perfect. What's going on, guys?
Doing good. How are y'all?
Good, man. Yeah. Appreciate you guys taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Super pumped.
Yeah. Are you kidding? You guys are legends.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wouldn't go that far, but yeah.
Tell my wife. She didn't think that.
Yeah.
I got you. We'll send her a line later for sure. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Yeah. So, dude, tell us about how you guys got started. I mean, it's insane what you have accomplished.
Yeah, we kind of fell into it. We were all at Texas A&M in 2009, and instead of going to class like we should have, we were in the backyard. Tyler and Garrett actually dropped $80 on a basketball
big investment. Big
ROI. And they put it in the backyard. And so we started doing some trick shots because there was no concrete. It was just grass. And so Corey, I believe, was one of the guys, one of the twins that had a little camera, and he put it on video mode and started filming some of the shots. So we made a little compilation, threw it up on YouTube, and it blew up. And I think it was the next day, Good Morning America called, and we realized, wow, this is like a thing. So we've been doing it now 12 years.
13. Yeah, we were just at the forefront of like kind of going into the digital, you know, everything from the TV side, moving into digital. And
stuff. Yeah, we knew, you know, TV was on the downhill and digital was just on the climb.
We had an inkling that, you know, this is where things were headed. Yeah. So.
Let's get after it.
That's awesome. Had you guys seen anything during that time frame that kind of led you to that, or was it just kind of
so
like
everyone really, was really, Corey was the main, like, YouTube was, I think, 3 years old at the time.
Cat videos.
Yeah, and like cat videos.
Charlotte Takes a Tumble.
And so Corey was like, man, I have a YouTube account, and we'll just put it up on YouTube. And I was like, I don't even know what YouTube is, so sure. And so he was kind of the nerd in the group. And
Still is.
That's great, man. Yeah, I had the similar kind of thing with Instagram where, you know, I had no idea to use social media. Everyone was using it. Everyone's talking about it. And I'm like, this is dumb. Like, what do you mean like this thing? And it gives you a heart. What are you talking about? You know, whatever. And then someone's like, you got to do it. It's going to change your life. And it did.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really cool to hear. Yeah, you guys, it's a lot of it's timing, but also, I mean, you guys are doing like awesome stuff that's incredibly entertaining, you know. The fact that you get that it's trick shots, you know, it's everybody knows you guys, you know. Yeah, everybody wants to watch it too. So it's fun. You have any favorite trick shots or?
Yeah. Man, so it's kind of funny. We obviously we're known as the trick shot guys, but it's probably the least like it's probably like our least favorite video to film.
I don't
nowadays.
Know what he's talking about.
Well, I'll speak for myself.
Okay. Yeah, what are you talking about?
And they're trick shot videos. They're time consuming and, you know, physically demanding. So but back in the day, then when that's all we did, we got to do some really cool stuff, go to some really cool places, and, you know, like shooting a ball out of a Goodyear blimp. Like, it was just at the, PGA Championship floating around, and you're just like, you kind of look up and you're like, I can't believe I threw a basketball out of that thing.
I couldn't say that because I didn't do it, but you did.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've definitely had some, like, fun moments that, you know, people don't get to, you know, they would love to do. They would love to throw a ball out of the blimp, but.
My favorite was kind of an accident, but we did a Guinness World Record basketball video. And so they put a blindfold on me and I like got spun around, had the basketball. It was like probably 10 feet past the full court. And so we were like, let's give it like 30 minutes thinking there's no way this will ever happen. And I threw it and they all start like yelling. And I'm like, why are you like, what? And they're like, you just made it. And I was like, I don't believe you. So I thought they were pranking me. And I'm like, that was a dumb prank. They had to take my blindfold off, show me the footage. I had to watch the shot go in for me to finally understand. I just made a first try blindfoldy. And that was probably my favorite never going to happen again situation.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I mean, I was going to ask like purely from a production standpoint, like how many takes do some of those? I mean, obviously that one, you only needed one, but like how much goes into those? Because we all have those moments in life where like crumble up the paper towel, like Jordan, you know, but I was just curious because from a production angle, it's very impressive.
We've never missed first try.
Perfect.
Every time. No, Garrett knows.
I mean, you know, you actually kind of get good at doing them when you do them every day of your life. And so it's not as long as you would think. Like we would film a hard trick shot within an hour. Now, granted, I mean, it's pretty rapid fire through that hour.
We have 100 balls.
You know, it's like, you know, when we started, we had like maybe two basketballs and a lot of rebounders. Now we have 1,000 basketballs. And
yesterday his idea for, we're doing a social video. It's actually already on our Instagram, but he wanted to like kick a football into our mounted giant cornhole board that's on the wall. And the hole is like the size of a football. And I'm like, I get throwing it, but he wanted to kick it like a field goal. I'm like, you're not like a kicker. Like, you play soccer some. He's like, dude, I'll do it. I literally leave for lunch, come back, and he's already made two shots, one there and another one in a basketball goal. Yeah. You just never know.
Yeah, some days, you know, you get hot. You know? It's just like
it's your day.
It's just like the golf course, you know. Yeah. Some days you have bad days.
It's like poker. You get a couple aces every once in a while.
That's great. Do you guys ever have one that you just had to give up on and move on?
So, the only one we've ever given up on was kind of one out of our control, was shooting it out of a cannon. But the longest one that is taken is the slingshot, and that took 2 days, two full days of launching a slingshot.
That was giant insane. Basketball slingshot.
Yeah, just like we've done two with the cranes and pulling it back, and then one we like cut down a tree and made a slingshot, and you took like three of us to pull it back, and that it took 2 days. So that was the longest one.
What was the distance on that? Because it was huge.
We started like
like 300 feet.
Yeah, we started like 100 yards, and I think it ended up being around like 80-ish, 80 yards.
Wow, so basically a football field.
Yeah.
Yeah, to only give up on one out of all the ones you guys have done, I mean, I never would have guessed that.
Well, we always say that perseverance is one thing that I feel like we could rival anybody in the world with, you know, because there's five of us.
If Garrett's shanking it, I'm like, dude, let me in. Okay. I got it. Let me prove myself. So we just rotate through.
Yeah, we'll go toe to toe with anybody in the world with we're not giving up on this thing. So
you guys are saying you're not really competitive at all, right?
No, not at all. What a race?
No, but we did just install a pickleball court that gets heated.
It's getting heated.
That gets pretty fun. Yeah, so we actually, I met your dad at El Dorado. I was in Cabo last week, and it was amazing. And they were literally going out to play a 2-on-2 pickleball tournament. So I was like, man, I might skip the golf and go play pickleball. So,
it's become very big in properties. People love it.
Dude, it's so fun. It's amazing. So
I've never seen my father so competitive, that's for sure.
That's so good.
There's something about the game too
that's like you feel like you should be able to score, so it just makes you even more mad and more energized about it, but it's fun.
Yeah. No, yeah, we were sitting at dinner when we were filming a bunch of podcasts at Troubadour in Nashville, and they're, you know, his dad, Randy Gerber, a couple other guys, and they're like, looking at me and Will, and they're like, oh, it'd be real fun to play against, you know, Will and Brock, because Brock's such a big target. We can just shank him all day. And I'm like, you guys are brutal, but let's go.
That's pickleball.
Yeah, that's pickleball for you.
Yeah, man, it's a fun game.
So you guys create so much content, and obviously you have one of the biggest fan bases in the world. I mean, what would you say is kind of the foundational message or theme of your content that you're trying to get out there and that you kind of shoot every video with that behind it?
Yeah,
we're pretty picky, and the way that we're competitive on the pickleball court, it translates to YouTube as well. And I think we fell into the family safe brand of not cussing, not promoting alcohol, and at the beginning it really hurt us because people were going to YouTube for the kind of raunchy, edgy, non-TV stuff, and it just kind of put us in this lane that made us brand safe, made families able to watch us. And then the other piece too is just the quality. We saw a bunch of YouTubers even early on that were just pumping out videos a day, and we just knew we couldn't produce the kind of video we want to do at anything really more than every other week. And so we've kind of stuck to that for the last decade, and it's been kind of where we hang our hat, is just the quality of our stuff is just better for what we think than anything else that you can find. And so I'd say those two things, family safe, and then it also being kind of epic and cool. And
the word we boil it down to is trust. We want to be the most trusted entertainment brand. We are pretty stickler when it comes to that in our editing process. I mean, we take a lot of stuff out just if it's like, hey, you know, we want to bring families together to watch our content. And so we hang our hat on that, and
And we all have kids now, so we're, you know, using that filter of like Ty says idiot as the rage monster. We're like, take it out. My daughter doesn't know what idiot means yet. And so
we would always go around saying like, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, or even dang it. And like, you know, our kids would run around the house and we're like, where'd you learn that?
Daddy.
And he goes, well, we watched your videos. And we're like, oh yeah. Good point.
Yeah, so our edgier stuff was our edgier 5 years prior
our
edgy, to the-
our edgier stuff is that, so.
Where we said, darn it.
Great. Yeah.
What's it like having such a big family-friendly fan base? Do you feel even more responsibility than ever as you guys continue to grow? Is that kind of something that steps in that space?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, we don't really, we feel the responsibility more about our, more for our own families, I feel like. So I think like Cody said, that's kind of our driving factor. And like, look, I just feel like our world is so divisive right now. There's so many things out getting thrown at kids and just the world itself that we want to be a safe place where, hey, look, let's strip all that away. Let's go back to the root of just like hanging out as a family, having fun, bringing smiles to people's faces. And that's really all it is. It's not like a huge, you know, burden that we bear. It's just more like, this is what we would want to do with our families. Get away from the craziness of the world, the political messages, just whatever it is, and let's just have fun together. So it's really just content we want to watch ourselves and do ourselves. So it's not really a burden per se. It's just more of a responsibility. It's what we like to do.
Yeah.
So. And I feel like, you know, I mean, being able to do that video at Augusta with Jim Nance and Bryson DeChambeau, I mean, it was really clear in some of the articles I read, right, that they did trust you to use the course and make good content and, you know, really produce something that was, you know, not only fun, but can also broaden the audience. So that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like it opens you up to stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and it's predicated on the relationships that we've built, right? So we've run in some circles where we got to meet some members, and we did it the best way and the cleanest way that you possibly can, versus just like, hey, can we go do this? It's more of just like, meet the people, have dinners, hang out, let them get to know our brand, what we're all about, how we want to like present this message to bringing golf to a different audience. Because, you know, yes, it's fun to play golf with regular sticks, but nobody wants to watch five hacks out on a course, right?
Yeah.
We're not Tom Brady. And so I think using a Frisbee and a Vortex football was kind of that check of like, hey, people will be, you know, kind of shocked, but also like, oh,
yeah.
What is Augusta? Who's Bryson? I want to watch him on a Sunday if he's leading, you know, if I'm a 12-year-old kid. And so it was a really cool opportunity for sure.
Yeah, one of our main like lenses we look through is how do we take regular experiences, adventures, and like kind of put a Dude Perfect twist on them. So like bowling, you know, bowling in a skate park with, you know, Jason Belmonte or whatever that is. And that, you know, I think it was, I don't know whose idea it was in our group. Could have been Ty. I don't know. But to go to a golf course and just play golf with not a golf ball, it was just fun. Like, honestly, when we first did it, we did it our first one in LA, and we were just like, it's just fun for us. We didn't think anything was going to come of it. Like the series would take off or anything. And it was a blast to play. And we've always said, if we have fun doing it, I think people will like to watch it. And yeah, I mean, it turned out to be great. And we just, I mean, my goal in life, just being a golf fan, is, man, I just wanted to go to the Masters and you know, walk the course one day. And so to be able to walk down the fairway with a purple Frisbee in my hand was pretty surreal. So I'll never forget that moment for the rest of my life.
That's awesome.
Love it.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think anybody watching can easily see not only you guys' camaraderie, your friendship, but also the authenticity that you bring across in it. And it really shows across the board. And I think it makes your content even more fun, because it's like, we got these guys doing these incredible things, but they're good guys and they're having fun. Like, you guys are ecstatic every time you nail something, you know? It's fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah, I always tell people, you can tell how long a trick shot took if based on the celebration. So if it's a really like elaborate celebration, that's a long trick shot.
Yeah.
So
if it's one of these,
we're celebrating.
Probably took five tries.
Yeah, we're celebrating because we get to go to lunch, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And play pickleball.
That's great. I want to talk about your guys' your compound, man. When did you guys decide that was the move?
Yeah, we were meeting in like a Panera Bread for about 2 or 3 years, and we all quit our real jobs to do Dude Perfect full time. We're like, okay, I'm kind of overdoing this. So we found an office space up in Frisco near where all of us lived. And Ty and Garrett were really kind of the architects of the whole thing. Garrett has his master's in architecture, but designed it. It was really simple, like offices on the outside and then putting green in the middle and like some shuffleboard and stuff. We went in there, we're there for 2 years, did a couple seasons in Nickelodeon, and we're like, hey, we're like outgrowing this. It's only 5,000 square feet, let's go bigger. So we found a big shell space, put some money into it, took about 6 months to build out. Garrett and Ty again, just like designed a treehouse, basketball court, turf, workout upstairs, offices up in the front. And when we moved in, that was just another little steroid shot for our channel. We've been here now, I think, almost 4 years. And we're actually looking to do something new. More news on that will be coming soon, but we're definitely looking for the next big play for us to kind of open up, you know, a new thing for us to film in, right? This is like our backdrop. So 3 years has been a long time here, but we still love it. It doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
And we just added, we add a new feature every quarter. So this quarter was pickleball.
Yeah.
When you call again, you're like, how's pickleball? Be like, oh yeah, we're moving on.
Yeah,
we built a game room. It's FIFA.
Another thing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Getting as far as, you know, you guys have gotten, there's got to be some obstacles along the way that, you know, you have faced, like some adversity. Can you speak to anything that has, you know, come into play that you've had to overcome? And, you know, how can that play into advice for new creators?
Yeah, I think, you know, the main adversity that came with us is doing business with your best friends. You know, when we first started out, we sought out some business advisors just to, like, you know, how to structure the, you know, operating agreement and this and that. And, you know, everyone looked at us and was like, dude, yeah, this is going to end very poorly for you guys. Because they were just like, you can't mix friendship and money. Like, it's impossible. I just think, you know, it works for us really well because, number one, we're all five different types of personalities and we all kind of specialize in different things as far as business goes. And, we all have a good solid ground faith, that is hugely important to us that, also navigates us through life. And so, yeah, we've had our adversary, we've had some big blowups in the friend space that, you know, we've had to navigate, but honestly, I mean, I'm not lying to you guys. Like, it's been very little,
just every Monday at staff meeting, we go to blows, winner submits, and then
I think we're very much under the, you know, everyone makes mistakes, you know, own your mistakes. We're quick to forgive and kind of move on. You know, if you let those mistakes harbor is where trouble comes your way and can really harbor some nasty stuff. But I feel like it's worked out really well. We're still friends, believe it or not, you know, 13 years later. So
3 weeks away from getting on a tour bus for 6 weeks together. So you kind of,
But as far as like, it's just minute stuff, you know, like, you know, our editors will lose a memory card of the whole day shoot that we just did. And, you know, we want to fire everyone in the company, but we don't, you know,
we have a consultant come in and do it.
We have a consultant come in and fire them, but,
that's good advice. Yeah.
That's good advice. Yeah.
It's I would say, you know, you gotta have like a similar mindset. For us, it's been our faith. Just being completely honest with you guys, that's been our grounding force that's kind of kept us grounded, and it's helped us kind of overcome those little obstacles that pop up here or there.
I think, too, it helps that it's five guys, that it's not just one dude.
Or two.
It's like, you know, it goes to your head. Like, if you're just on, or two. That's funny.
Or two.
Yeah, I look at Brock.
You need a third, man. You need a third vote.
Get a third in there.
You need a third vote.
And don't let it be a brother. We're that's a problem.
Working with family is also very tough. But no, yeah. I mean, honestly, having five, we actually started Dude Perfect with six guys. There wasn't five of us. One of
the sixth guy lost a memory card, so how that is.
The sixth guy wanted to become a doctor to help people actually in life, not just give them good content.
Correct.
But honestly, I feel like the five has really been beneficial because, like, you know, me and him could team up and be like, "Hey,
mutiny.
We're only siding together on decisions," and then the other two could be like, "Dude, but we're gonna side together." And then it's like at least one guy to basically decide
the fate
of the company, you know. So it has been kind of nice, but man, we've honestly avoided big conflict, which has been a huge blessing for sure.
That's great. Yeah, just kind of like a lesson in communication and collaboration and, you know, staying positive and getting through stuff. I like that.
Yeah. Stuff's going to come up. It's all about how you deal with it. And look, you got to understand we're all human. We all make mistakes. And that person's going to make a mistake here eventually. So how you're going to respond to a mistake that was made against you is huge, in my opinion. Yep.
I mean, obviously me and Will work together and we've worked together on a few projects. We did a feature film together and, you know, there's so many different obstacles that come involved with, like you said, business and friendship. But to what you guys are saying, it really comes down to communication, your personality types, and really knowing how to work and listen to each other more than anything.
Yeah.
So that's awesome to hear. And you guys are obviously crushing it. And
thank you.
Yeah. You mentioned you guys are going on tour real soon. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this will be our third tour. We're going to be doing it this summer. It's 6 weeks. So it'll be 24 shows. And what the kind of schedule will be, we leave on a Thursday, do a show that night, get on a bus together, drive through the night, wake up, play some top 100 course that Garrett or Ty have set up. And then we play golf. And then we go to the arena, do our show. Get back on the bus and you do that. So it's 4 days a week. You do that. And then there's six of them. So it'll be, I love it because it's kind of autopilot from a show perspective, and then allows us to kind of get away from just filming. The meetings and filming. Cause that can get mundane.
But it's also fun to be in front of your fans, you know, being a digital creator, you're never like a touch point with your fans.
It's great comments.
To have that actual physical touch point with fans is very, like, it's refreshing for us as creators, just be like, oh wow, people actually like do like us, you know? It's not just bots on the internet just commenting, you know? Yeah. So
I compare it to like a musician who like writes songs in a studio for like the whole year, and then he puts out a song or music video, versus when he goes on tour. I bet he would always say, I like the tour piece to like see my fans. That's kind of how we feel.
Absolutely, yeah. And we just had a bunch of country artists on, and seeing that too firsthand, like, I'm an actor, so, you know, everyone watches the stuff at home or in a theater or something like that. But to go to a concert with some of these guys and to hear their experience and how fun it is for them to have the audience and all the energy there, it's a totally different feeling. You get a, you know, all this adrenaline rush from it, and, you know, seeing and interacting with the fans is a whole different thing. Like, yeah, we'll meet people out in the street and, you know, they'll say they're fans of the work and stuff like that here and there. You get a couple people, but when it's a crowd, when it's thousands of people, you know, it's a whole different thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we were in Nashville during a Justin Bieber concert, just kind of randomly, but I mean, it was pretty cool. Like the crowd was almost like synchronized, you know, it was like, they like knew when to cheer and knew, I was like, oh wow, that's pretty impressive. But,
we went to Justin Bieber, what was it? Like a month ago when he came to Dallas, and we're playing in the AC, this summer too. And it was kind of surreal. I was like, man, our fans don't, you know, our fans aren't as loud as his fans. His fans are very vocal, you know?
Yeah.
But man, it was a crazy environment. I mean, yeah.
Garrett was yelling Bieber.
Bieber! Oh,
hey, look, I used to, you asked me 5 years ago.
Can I have your shirt?
If I was a Justin Bieber fan, I would have told you, yeah, I don't know who that guy is, but I don't know. Proud Bieber fan.
Oh, welcome.
He's a good music, man.
It's good for America.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, man, same. We saw him go up. He got lifted up on this platform on the stage, and he's just up there. And I swear, dude, all he was doing, like, this little leg twitch, you know, like a little hip thrust, like, barely anything. And I swear my ears were about to start bleeding. And I'm like, this is insane. That's so much fun to watch, though, dude. That guy, he's one of a kind, man. Kills it.
Thanks for tuning in to Studio 22.